Welcome to the tax update for November 2015. And we have had a month where there's been interesting developments in tax. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes and links to original websites where further research can be done in the detail. But I begin today by looking at the interesting decision of Dr. David Jones, which concerns travel expenses and whether or not the expense which a consultant anaesthetist incurred in travelling from his home to various hospitals where he conducted private work would be allowed for tax purposes. The doctor believed that Horton versus Young applied and that he had established his base of business at his home where he kept records and did various items of research. However, HMRC have been challenging travel expenses in recent years because I don't think HMRC ever liked the decision in Pook versus Owen where a doctor was allowed the expense of travelling from his practice to various hospitals. The key point in Pook versus Owen was that the doctor had commenced acting as a doctor when he made the decision after receiving a telephone call advising him that his opinion was being sought in a patient, and he'd started to treat the patient when he decided to travel to the hospital, and therefore he was travelling in the performance of his duties. Dr. Sabedian was not able to benefit from this because it was held that he did not commence to working until he arrived at the hospital. And similarly, in the case of Dr. David Jones, although he was employed as a consultant by Gwent NHS, the issue concerned his travel expenses as a self-employed specialist, but he did not begin to work until he arrived at the site of the hospital. And consequently, the expenses which he incurred in travelling from his home were not incurred wholly and exclusively for the performance of his duties as a consultant anaesthetist, but rather were incurred for the mixed purpose because he chose to live at some distance from where he performed his work. And this just reinforced the decision in Newsom versus Robertson that the wholly and exclusive test is very stringent, and if you're commuting, then it's not to enable the man to do his work, but to live away from it. If you have clients in the subcontractors industry, or indeed doctor clients, this decision is definitely worth a read. Another decision that's worth a read is Rangers Football Club, because it concerns the use by employers of employee benefit trusts. And the Court of Session in Scotland has decided that where a sum is made available directly or indirectly to an employee as a reward for services, that sum is earnings on which the employer should apply pay-as-you-earn. Now, this is a complex case involving artificial arrangements and requires a detailed read if it potentially affects you or your clients. But in essence, what it is saying is that tax which is due will be collected from the employer, and the fundamental principle that emerges is that if income is derived from an employee's service as employee, then it is taxable earnings and thus accessible to income tax, and the employer is obliged to operate pay-as-you-earn. It's a lengthy 92-paragraph decision, but it also introduces a new concept that HMRC were able to introduce new arguments not heard by the lower courts, and I'm pretty uncomfortable with that. I'm also uncomfortable with making the employer go into liquidation when in fact the earnings and therefore the tax is ultimately due from the employee, and I think that there's something quite unfair about this. I'm also concerned that it's breaching Article 4 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Wednesday 25th November saw the Chancellor do a U-turn on the proposed restrictions to tax credits, and he also did a U-turn on the abolition of the 3% surcharge on diesel cars, deferring this abolition from 2016 to 2021. And this must come as a few little surprise because of the VW Group scandal, but it also raises additional tax. The Chancellor has also announced an apprenticeship levy which will apply to all employers with a pay bill exceeding £3 billion. But if the pay bill is less than that, then the £15,000 allowance will offset against the payment of the levy, meaning that 98% of employers will not pay the levy. He's also to go at residential property landlords, and if a property does not qualify as an only or main residence, then you now have to make a payment and account of capital gains tax within 30 days of the completion of the disposal. So landlords and non-resident individuals selling residential properties will be affected by this change, and a newsletter to clients might be advisable because the stringent time limit of 30 days could be difficult. Sometimes the calculation of periods of non-qualifying residence in a property, or indeed identifying capital expenditure, can be quite difficult and time-consuming. There's some good news in the autumn statement, such as the extension of farmers' averaging from 2 to 5 years, but I recommend a read of the link which is provided in the notes. Thanks very much for listening.